Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But a person who's very much alive and joining us right now on the show, the great Doug LeMaurice from cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Doug LeMaurice. Hello, Doug.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doug, we're doing so wonderful, and we're doing even better to hear you and to hear your voice. Doug LeMaurice appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, first off, I want to get to some of the Buckeye stuff as well, but I got to start off with the Browns. First off, you know, there's still a question for some fans. We got a couple of calls yesterday about whether or not Baker should play on Sunday. I mean, I just think it's wrapped up. Like, Baker's got to play no matter what. And the Browns seem to think the same thing. Is there a caution to you at all about that?
No. I think he's got to play. I mean, I think from a team standpoint, I still think the potential upside of Baker is better than what you'd have with Case Keenum and – you know, all the stuff Andrew Berry said last week, if we wouldn't put him out there if he thought he could make it worse. I mean, I think he's got to play. He seems to want to play. And coming off the bye, this is the best chance to play him, right? I mean, I think we should hopefully see a somewhat healed, fresher version of Baker Mayfield. So, yeah, I feel like we're past that conversation, too. It's got to be him.
Well, I think we're past it now. I still don't think it added up why they thought they had to play him against Pittsburgh and against Detroit, teams that if you just had someone who could run your offense and instead Baker gave them, you know, some lower tier QB play in those games. Now they did beat Detroit, so they end up winning with them, but then you saw him, you know, hobbling after one rollout, you know, in the last time he played. So I don't know if he's going to be healthy the rest of the way. I guess my question is, the last few times I've heard Stefanski, and Barry, too, it kind of seemed like they put some pressure on Baker for the final five games that I don't think they necessarily needed to. Do you think that was the case in essentially guaranteeing he's going to play well the final 5 weeks of the season? We're going to see a better Baker.
I mean, the questions they were asked about, do you think we'll see the best of Baker or will he play well kind of stuff? I think they sort of said what you have to say in that situation. I know what you're saying, Anthony, but the difference between, like, are you showing confidence in a guy or are you putting pressure on a guy? He's Baker Mayfield. He's the number one pick in the draft. He's playing for a contract. He's the face of your franchise. I think all of that that's what this is, right? And I keep saying, like, it might not be fair, and I don't think it's going to make him play worse, and maybe it's too much to ask of an injured quarterback, but that's like where we are, man. So like whether it's fair or right, like it is what it is, and they need him to be the best he can be these last five games. I don't know that it's a make or break referendum, but I felt more like they were trying to show confidence in a guy who hasn't been producing very well.
Doug LeMaurice joined us on the hotline. So with all of that said, Doug, I just have a bigger picture question here when it comes to Baker. If they are evaluating him this year, they're not going to just deem this a year you can't evaluate the quarterback because they think he's good enough to play, and they're also evaluating, yes, there are injuries here, but you look around the NFL now, there are a bunch of guys. I mean, Joe Burrow was having trouble, you know, even handing the ball off last week because of his pinky on his normal, you know, functioning throwing arm or throwing hand. Matt Stafford has been dealing with a ton of injuries as well. You can just go up and down the league. How do they evaluate Baker, the front office, when they're saying he's healthy enough to play?
No, I think you're right, because they're evaluating the Browns quarterback, right? And then in the end, what's good for the franchise is more important to them than what's fair or what's good for Baker Mayfield. So I do think you have to come to some kind of conclusion, and you take this into account, and maybe it's not fair. That's why I keep using that word fair. Maybe it's not fair to Baker Mayfield, but you've got to decide who your quarterback is next year. And so I've been doing, I mean, we're all doing the same stuff. It's like some research on quarterbacks in the top 10 since they moved to the current rookie contract system. And there are a lot of guys who are kind of maybes by year five, right? So there's not a ton of guys, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they were sure yeses. Some guys, you know, Jake Locker, or Josh Rosen are sure knows. A lot of guys in year five are kind of maybes. And you've got to work it out. You've got to see what you're going to, what you want to do. And so, you know, I think he's in the maybe zone. I don't think you're going to get to a sure yes or a sure no by next year, given how this year went. But I think you have to decide what your maybe means. What's your maybe mean for you and his future and the team's future? I think it means run it back with more protections, with another guy on the roster who you can go to more effectively than Case Keenum. But I think it's still a maybe. And you do at least one more year, but this happens kind of a lot with these quarterbacks, that it's not everybody's Patrick Mahomes, man. Sometimes you're still scratching your head.
So far, has this season been disappointing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I should have said just real quickly before that. I didn't mean to cut you off. The great Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. The reason I asked that is then, if it has been disappointing so far, and a lot of people would agree with you, how much of that is at the feet of Kevin Stefanski then?
Oh, certainly a portion. No, I do not think Kevin Stefanski is above critique when it comes to this. I feel like his plan on offense is so different than the rest of the league. You know, they use three tight ends twice as much as any team in the league. They run the ball in a way that very few teams in the league do, but they certainly don't have any threats really at receiver right now. I mean, I think that style, beyond the injury, I think there's some question about this style of offense. Is it a long-term way to win in the NFL? And then enough of the stuff, you know, I don't love a guy who has his head buried in the play sheet on the sideline when it feels like his team is needs a momentum swing or needs a boost or needs leadership. And so I know Andy Reid does it, but, like, when you're not winning, I don't love that look. So I think there's multiple things that you can ask, like, what's up with Kevin Stefanski? And I don't think that I certainly think he's near the top of the list when you think about why isn't this season as good as people expected.
Should he give up play calling duties? It sounds like you believe he should.
I mean, I wrote that 2 or 3 weeks ago that I thought he should, just to change it up a little bit, maybe fresh eyes, Alex Van Pelt. I know it's collaborative. I know they talk about it all week, but somebody still has to make a decision whether you're doing this on 2nd and 7 or this on 2nd and 7. And I thought that it had gotten a little stale with the kind of stuff they were doing again and again. It wasn't working. Alex Van Pelt would different be good. And then that would free up Kevin to do all the head coach stuff and not only be so focused on calling plays on the sidelines on Sunday. So I thought it was worth a shot. He doesn't think that, but that certainly is on the plate for me. And I'm not saying long-term forever. I just thought they could use something to shake it up, and that might have been it.
Well, then quickly, what do you think the Browns record is going to be at the end of the year?
I think they probably don't have, like, a clear definitive ending, right? So I think probably like 9-8. I think they maybe have a good win or two. I think they have a tough loss or two. You know, do I think they're going to run off 4-1 and make the playoffs at 10-7? Do I think they're going to collapse and finish 1-4? I think, like, almost either of those would be too easy, because you feel like you'd have an answer. I feel like it's more of a muddle. Maybe they come back and beat the Ravens, but then it doesn't look as good against Vegas. Well, like, I just feel like they're kind of trapped in that zone for now where we're not going to have clear answers.
If they don't make the playoffs, then that's a clear failure of their goals. They have to consider changing out the play caller then. It just has to be considered strongly.
You have to have a discussion about it, but it is, I mean, my gosh, for everybody, for Andrew Berry and the Haslams especially, but, like, for all of us, like, how do you evaluate it? What do you really think of this stuff? It's not just Baker, but, you know, losing Odell and the time Jarvis was out and Jack Conklin being out now. We know, you know, the Freddie Kitchens year, one of the big problems among the other things was their tackle play was awful. We know how important that stuff is. But, yes, it at least needs to be talked about. I agree.
All right, Doug, let's move to Ohio State now. And it's interesting. I put up a tweet the other day, and it was a total homer tweet. I'll admit it. I was being a homer. Sometimes it's actually in me. I can be a homer. I graduated from Ohio State.
Oh, here we go.
Actually, with a double major, Doug. It was not easy to do.
Nice.
Public affairs, journalism, and political science.
You graduated with political science.
Yeah, it was a good run, and did it in 4 years too, which I thought was really impressive after transferring from Ohio University. So, Doug,
were you doing at OU the first year? Passing off
a lot of drinking. So let's
underage too.
Let's get to this, Doug.
Can't condone that.
Ohio State still has a chance to finish fourth when all is said and done. Believe it or not, like if since he got waxed and Ohio State performed really well in the Rose Bowl, which is a question mark because we don't know who's going to play. But all in all, anytime you lose to Michigan, it's a bad year. All in all, with the standards that Ohio State have set, if you don't get to the playoff, it's a bad year. But I'm seeing some Michigan fans say this is the start of it. This is where it turns. And, Doug, I look at the recruiting rankings. I look at the fact you have a guy that's invited to New York City that is going to be back on your team next year as a quarterback. And I still feel really good. Am I being too much of a homer?
No. You are not, but I also think because their standard is so high and because they've been so successful, I think this is probably like the low point of the program, at least since Ohio State lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten title game in 2013 and then went and lost to Clemson in the Orange Bowl, and maybe since they hired Urban Meyer. Now, the only reason that's the case is because the standard is so high, but almost every year since Urban got here, and most of Tressel, even if Ohio State like didn't win the Big Ten or win the Big Ten championship game, they could still argue they were the best team in the Big Ten. Well, 2015, Michigan State beats them. Michigan State, Iowa play in the Big Ten championship game. But come on, we saw the talent. Ohio State was still the best team, right? 2016, they don't play in the Big Ten championship game, but they still make the playoff. That is not true this year. Like, there is no doubt to me that Michigan is the better football team this year. Michigan is really good. They have the best defensive player in the country, one of the best two. They have a really good offensive plan. They're really well coached, and they execute exactly what they want to do. That was not a fluke. That was real. Michigan is real. Now, are they actually better? Are they a better program than Ohio State? No, they're not. But I do think Michigan is real. They revamped their coaching staff last offseason. It had immediate effect. They have a five-star quarterback who is a freshman backup this year. They have a five-star running back, borderline five-star, Donovan Edwards, who is a backup this year. They do not recruit at the same level as Ohio State. Ohio State has four times as many five-star recruits on the roster as they do. But I do think Michigan's on the upswing a little bit. The patience with Harbaugh, I think, paid off. I think it's real. And Ohio State, comparatively, and especially compared to Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, other programs around here, they're just in a little dip right now. It's because the standard's so high. So I think both are true. I think Michigan's real. I think they're closer than they've been in 15 years to Ohio State. But Ohio State's still Ohio State. And their quarterback was a first-year guy who's going to be better next year. And a lot of this is also understandable with a young quarterback.
Now, Ohio State does have problems. And we all saw how bad the defense was this year. And we knew the coaching situation defensively was pretty much a disaster heading into the season. They righted the ship for a while. But, you know, Michigan followed a similar game plan that Oregon did to really pound them and get physical with them. We know that Ryan Day certainly heard some of the comments from Michigan players and coaching staff following that game. So now you're at the fix-it stage. How do you fix it? Because you're supposed to have enough talent. The talent is supposed to be there. But defensively, at times, didn't look like it.
This was like the last year of a sort of a remaining of a recruiting dip, that it's the 2019 class that was a crossover class from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day with the third-year guys this year, Zach Harrison, Garrett Wilson, but it wasn't as deep as most of their recruiting classes. Their linebackers aren't good enough. They need better linebacker play. That's been true for a couple years. But they have some answers in recruiting that will pop a little bit next year, I think, defensively. I wouldn't be surprised if they look for a linebacker in the transfer portal. And then they have to get a new defensive coordinator. So you saw, we talked about him a lot the week before the Michigan game, and I think it was right, Mike McDonald, that Jim Harbaugh hired from his brother John Harbaugh from the NFL. New defensive play call, the new coordinator for Michigan changed their defense. Ohio State needs a version of Mike McDonald. They need a schemer. They need probably somebody with NFL experience. you know, one of the things is there's so many teams that need defensive coordinators. Clemson needs one. Oklahoma, LSU might, Penn State, Notre Dame. There's a lot of teams, big-time programs, looking for defensive play callers. So they've got to go get a guy. But some of the talent on defense that we saw not at the Ohio State standard this year, they'll get back closer to that next season with some of the young guys they have in the pipeline.
30 seconds. Will Ryan Day be at Ohio State in 2022?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got young kids. He's got plenty of time to get to the NFL, I keep saying. I'll be surprised if he never coaches in the NFL, but I'll be glad as a surprise if he would be doing it right now.
Doug Lemaurice, find him on Twitter, at Doug Lemaurice. Go get his book. It's a fantastic book.
Especially for the holidays.
Where is it available? Is it available on, I want to say Amazon, but some aren't available
on Amazon. I just saw it at Barnes & Noble's
this called
weekend.
The Road to Ohio State, in incredible twists and improbable turns along the Buckeyes recruiting trail. Is it available on Amazon?
It is. I think it's, yeah, mostly online wherever you buy books and hopefully in Ohio's bookstores.
Okay, go get Doug's book. It's a good book. It makes a good gift. He's a nice guy and good dude and all the other good stuff you could say about Doug. Doug, thank you for the time.
Thanks, fellas.
Great Doug Lemaurice joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming up next, is there any reason Ohio State should be worried? I wasn't the one who thought of it, by the way. Don't be going after me. And the season has changed, and so have our expectations. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.